Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport Intern Special, a series of podcasts in which we speak to the movers and shakers within the Olympic movement. My name is Ashish Sharma. In this episode, we continue with our conversation with Max Siegel, the CEO of USA Track and Field. And I began the second part of our conversation by asking Max how much he was looking forward to the Paris Olympics next year.
So we're very excited about Paris. Everything about the host location it's very intriguing. It's exciting, you know, to be in Paris, to have the games there, to have the community embrace. A couple of things are happening. While everyone is excited and anticipating Paris, it's also a signal that LA is in the near future. So for us, we're starting to feel the anticipation and the focus and the excitement for Los Angeles building and for Paris. So some of the things that we continue to try to refine organizationally, the support for the training and development of our athletes, you know, to get them excited about the pathway. Look, we're looking at our current Olympians, but we're also looking at our under 20 team and our young athletes who will be in their prime when Los Angeles is here. And so for us, you know, all the logistics, the support of our athletes, you know, we try to pull from all of our international events, those positive things from the fan experience, athlete experience. What we think is a great opportunity in LA, the LA market is a perfect example of that, is that by the time that the Los Angeles Olympics gets here in the States, we'd like to have a consistent presence of our athletes domestically competing and pushed out on various, you know, broadcast platforms where they're excited to see them compete at the Olympics and they're not waiting till the next 4 years, right? And so the interesting phenomenon that I have seen is having the games in the States really helps people focus and organize domestically that it's actually happening here and they're paying attention. So what we hope to pick up, there are always learnings on the logistics side. We're always taking notes on how the execution is on the event side, but it'll be a great catalyst for us to then turn our attention to the United States.
What's harder in your case, I suppose, is that, you know, it's individuals. It's an individual sport. You need personalities. You know, you can have a team that's an iconic team, LA Lakers, for example. They don't need to be full of superstars because the name is iconic. Is that always a battle, looking for, you know, those sort of characters, those personalities? And how do you find them?
Yeah, I think the answer to your question is yes. It is important to find the personalities. And I would agree with you. If you look at team sports and the iconic brands, the Lakers, the Yankees, you know, I can throw out a number of them. The fans still associate them with the players, right? There's an emotional connection to the athletes, and people are entertained by their athletic talent, but they're also invested in them as human beings when they're doing good things and not so good things, right? And so it's a combination of both. One is, look, I came from the entertainment business. So a part of it is building up the stars and the brands and creating an awareness with the public. And when I look at our athletes, we have amazing diversity on our team and we have very compelling stories of our athletes. We have to really dig deep and make sure that the general public understands them and connects with them in a human way. And so for me, as I've been in the job now going on 12 years, there literally is no shortage of compelling stories and individuals. And I marvel quite often when I get to know some of the athletes, their individual journeys. It is an individual sport, but there's so much dedication and there's so much that you have to invest and devote to being the best at something. And if you think about it, to be able to achieve at that highest level with everyone in the world that competes with a sport takes a unique individual, and their journeys are all pretty interesting and unique. So we have a lot of them. And so we're partnering with our broadcast partners. We're, you know, trying to find new, young, innovative, diverse storytellers, different platforms to be out there, but we have to make a concerted effort to showcase that.
You are in a very high position, but you are one of very few people of color that is there. How aware, how much of a sense do you have that you are a bit of a pioneer, that you are a role model for African Americans and other minority groups within the US and also worldwide? If you look at international federations, there are really very, very few, you know, people that you could say represent a diversity of representation. How do you treat that?
So I grew up in a very challenging, dysfunctional environment filled with adversity and with very little support and guidance. My parents didn't go to college. I had a lot of different types of abuse I had to overcome. And I owe every single opportunity that I have to people who invested in me and believed in me. But what I committed to early on, in appreciation for the opportunity and my own sense of obligation, was that I'm going to do my best to make wherever I go as an organization better, to create opportunities for other people, but to also tell the world that I'm not special or unique. There are a lot of people with skills and talent out there that if they're given the proper support, if they're given the opportunity to grow, they can contribute. And I think that, so I've embraced this journey, you know, and throughout my entire career, it has been often a lonely journey, right? And so I find colleagues and I get a lot of great support, and I've tried to assemble a team that keeps me grounded and supports and, you know, really goes out and helps us all do the hard work. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it is emotionally trying at times. It is incredibly frustrating. But at the same time, you know, I feel in my heart that that's why I get up every day to do it. And so for us, we've had the most athletic success as an organization in the history of USA Track and Field over the last decade. We've had the best financial success as an organization. I attribute that to the diversity that we've created within the organization. And my goal with those efforts is to be an example, to say to people, whether you feel in your heart that it's the right thing to do or it's socially responsible, this is a great business model. And our world is global now, and our world is diverse, and we're evolving. And if you don't understand the beauty of diversity, then I feel you're going to be left behind. And so for me, my team keeps me lifted up as my family does. And I agree with you. I'd love to accelerate the pace. And back to my passion for NASCAR, and that has been because I saw a tremendous industry globally of motorsports with not very much participation from a diverse group of people. And so over the last 15 years, I'm very proud of the fact that we've been able to create opportunities and change the face of the sport and impact culture in a very positive way. And I truly feel like the Olympic movement and USA Track and Field, if you look at Jesse Owens or Dr. John Carlos and Dr. Tommy Smith or, you know, the Gwen Berrys of the world, we continue to be in the center of positive social impact. So I take it on, I embrace it, and I will do everything that I possibly can to continue to get people to open their minds and their hearts to diversity and inclusion.
You see, I understand what you say when it comes to NASCAR, because that's been a sport traditionally white. And so to break barriers in there, you really are a pioneer on that front. But does it frustrate you? Because if you look at track and field, certainly in the US, it is a very, very dominant sport with a diversity of people, especially from the African-American community. And yet you don't see that pushing through. When you see athletes doing so well, you know, you mentioned some of them there, But then do you wonder and say, well, why are they not then the top coaches and working in organizations as, CEOs?
Yeah, so organizationally for us at USA Track and Field, we're the most diverse governing body in the Olympic movement. And we were not always. When I got here, we were not diverse. 56% of my senior staff, C-level, C-suite executives are women. 43% of my entire professional staff are minority. That was not the case when I got here. So to your point, what's frustrating for me in the way that I view it is I typically say there are two things that are going on. A, either someone does not want diversity, or B, they don't know how to achieve it. And so what we are trying to do is not just to say, hey, this is what you should do. We're trying to lead by example, and we're trying to be a resource for others. You know, we put the business case out. Socially, you know where we stand, but at the same time, how can we assist you in changing the culture of your own organization? And so we proactively have reached out to our other colleagues within the Olympic movement. I do it professionally, whether it's in motorsports or here. It's, you know, both at the grassroots level where you're actually going into the community and you're finding young people that you train and you give experience. But the other thing that I find that we're pretty aggressive is I've gone out and I've identified professionals with skills that you can transfer. Typically someone will say, well, they don't have any experience in sports, or they don't have any experience in track and field. Well, neither did my chief operating officer. She was a lawyer at a defense contractor who clearly understood how to run a business, and I would argue is the best chief operating officer in sport, but she had transferable skills. So, you know, being able to do it on a macro level is one thing, doing it one person at a time. That's where the frustration comes in, because I clearly know that there are diverse, talented people out there in the world. And I wish that people would just be able to just, you know, either wake up or identify them and create opportunities. So, you know, I'll continue to focus on it. My team continues to focus on it. There are a whole host of reasons why it does and does not happen. But what I will tell you is where I am in my career. And as I think about how I want to finish out my career, and I never thought I'd be talking about what my legacy would be. I hope that the body of work says, hey, listen, this is how we change the fabric of an industry. This is how we impact a culture. And this is how the efforts of, you know, our leadership team has created opportunities for people from all walks of life. You know, when we had everything happen in the United States around the murder of George Floyd, and we started to talk to our colleagues globally, whether it was described or characterized as Black Lives Matter or not, what I understood was international human rights is something that people all want to be treated with dignity and respect, right? So culturally, that label may or may not mean something, but in general, I feel that in everyone's heart, they want to. What I think is happening is, on the progress side, I think that there is more public dialogue about it. I think that I can't say that it's gotten worse. I just think that we don't, because of technology, social media, the ability to expose it, I just don't think that people were as aware of what was going on as we are right now. So we're in a really painful and tumultuous time. But I think the positive side of things for me is when you see it and you recognize it and you're aware of it, it gives you an opportunity to address it and also hold people accountable. So I've often said to myself, as much as I've dealt with it, have I been naive or blind to the fact that this is going on all around the world? So when I see stories and I hear about it, it breaks my heart, you know. My father, who's deceased, is Jewish, you know, and so, you know, just identifying with the plight of people around the world and not being treated with dignity and respect is something that has resonated with me. So clearly, I feel like, you know, there's more public discussion about it. What I'm really encouraged by is, you know, my kids are 23, 21, and 19, and I feel like the younger generation is embracing one another for who they are, and they have less tolerance and patience for this kind of behavior, and it's ingrained in who they are, and they're not, and it's not going away. So when I get frustrated with my generation or everyone else, the young people really inspire me.
Well, those were the thoughts there of Max Siegel, the CEO of USA Track and Field. So thanks for listening. And don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest that's happening in the world of sport by subscribing to the Sport Inter newsletter, produced every day, Monday to Friday. But until next time, stay safe.